RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, headlines. Russian National Day marks to tighten bilateral relations with Indonesia. Australia yet to clarify bribery allegations. Parliament supports new MUI fatwa. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and Russia have a very active cooperation in the fields of politics, including interaction in the United Nations, UN, and other international bodies. Both countries also have a good perspective in the economy field. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Michael Galushin, made a statement on the sidelines of the Russian National Day in Jakarta on Wednesday evening.
We have very active cooperation in political sphere, including interaction in the United Nations and other international bodies. We have very trust-based political dialogue on various levels, starting from the top level. It was of great importance when last year in November, in the margins of APEC summit, President Putin and President Joko Widodo held their very first meeting in Beijing. And also we have good perspectives in the economic sphere, including very big investment projects planned by Russian business, like construction of a railway in East Kalimantan, like construction of bauxite refinery in West Kalimantan, and many other.
Ambassador Michael Galushin also revealed a big investment project planned by Russian business, such as construction in East Kalimantan and refinery in West Kalimantan. In the event attended by Minister of Defense Ria Misariachudu, Deputy Speaker of Indonesian House of Representatives Fadli Sond, and some high-ranking official and business people, Russian ambassador to Indonesia expressed bright expectation for bilateral ties between the two countries, because Indonesia and Russia are also close to each other with a long history and partnership and friendship. Russian National Day itself is commemorated on June 12th. It marked the approval of the Russian Parliament on the Declaration of State Sovereignty of Russia in 1990. Australia has not responded to Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi's request for clarification regarding an allegation that Canberra had bribed human smugglers to turn their boat back to Indonesian waters. Indonesia has not received a clarification yet. This was affirmed by a spokesman for the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Nasir, to journalists in Jakarta on Tuesday. When asked about the subject, Indonesian request for the clarification from Australia about the cash payment issued is warranted in accordance with the Bali Process Agreement. Under this deal, countries in the region that face human smuggling and human trafficking problems agreed to comprehensively handling them. He pointed out, Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott seems reluctant to admit or deny the bribery allegations. In addition, instead of clarifying the issue, Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Julia Bishop urged Jakarta to secure the sovereignty of its territorial waters. Armanata Nasir stated that he was surprised to hear the Australian government's comment on as reflected in the piece of statement. Parliament members welcomed the edicts or fatwa of Indonesian Ulama Council MUI about the position of a leader who did not keep his promises. Member Commission 8 of the House of Representatives DPR, Emmanuel Haq Maman, said that Moi's fatwa is expected to revive the leader, either in legislative, judicial, or executive, in order to be able to implement the mandate given. The politician of Nation Awakening Party, PKB, Maman explained on Tuesday that preferably Moi's fatwa is based on the facts and data. For example, Moi finds out the premise of public official during a campaign and demanding the premise that have not been realized. In addition, Moi should also mobilize the public to demand campaign premises delivered by the legislature, judiciary, and executive as form of oversight of their performance. If this could be done, then the Moi fatwa could run conducive and not just a regulation. He added that it was a prayer that Moi's fatwa is socialized during this holy month so that Ramadan could be a momentum for parliament members to improve their performance, not to walk lessly. Students are flocking into Islamic-based higher education institutions as the government plans to turn Indonesia into a global center for Islamic study. Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister in charge of the managing Islamic higher education institution said on Tuesday that the number of applicants taking the entrance exam for public Islamic university grew 10% to 77,224 people compared with last year. It shows that Islamic higher education institutions are no longer second-class institutions, but have already become a primary choice. This was stated by Minister Academy Development Head Muhammad Saint. The entrance exam is one of three ways to ensure an enrollment in a public Islamic university. The two other avenues of entry are a selection system based on academic merit called the National Academy Achievement Selection, or SPAND, an independent enrollment system managed by each institution. The Ministry of Islam Mid Education Director General Kamarudin Amin said that public Islamic university mainly gather students through SPAND, with 60% of students securing their enrollment. Rupiah interbank trade rate in Jakarta on Friday first session weakened by 15 points to 13,320 rupiah per dollar from 30,305 in the previous trade. The dollar strengthened against rupiah on worries that Greece would be unable to repay its debts. This was stated by NH Korindo Security Indonesian Research Section Head Reza Priambada, as quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday. However, it said rupiah's fall would be limited since Federal Reserve had decided to postpone a rate hike after U.S. economic growth had been less than expected. Reza added that rupiah is expected to move upward in line with subsidizing sentiment from Fed and hopes for improvement in domestic economy in the second quarter. Monex Invest in the Future Head Research Unit Chief Ariston Chandra said that investors were tending to curb transactions in risky currencies as the Fed had indicated the rate hike might be made later this year. American rock band Bon Jovi is about to rock Indonesia on September 11, 2015 at Bung Karno Main Stadium in Senayan, South Jakarta. All of the sound system and the stage are sourced from Indonesia. This was stated by Java Festival Production President Director Dewi Gonta in South Jakarta on Thursday. She said, Live Nation Indonesia, the organizer expected 40,000 people of all ages to attend the show. However, with thousands of people expected to come out, Dewi said people should not be concerned about the safety of women and kids. Bon Jovi is likely to sing his single, such as Living on a Prayer, You Give Love a Bad Name, and It's My Life at the concert. Tickets will be sold from June 29 on the concert official website. However, the organizer refused to disclose ticket prices on Tuesday. The last item. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi became a speaker at Oslo Forum, a leading forum in Europe, and highly respected because of his effort in addressing various complex issues and world peace. In her presentation, Minister Retno Marsudi has submitted the topic of instability and its impact to foreign policy that focused on Indonesian experiences in maintaining the stability in the region. Spokesperson of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawanasir, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday said, the son of the example mentioned by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, about the stability in the region or irregular movement of person, Yemen conflict, and violent extremism. This year, the minister was asked to be one of the speakers. On the occasion, the minister presented the theme of instability and its impact to foreign policy. In this forum, she expressed the Indonesian experience in a vote to maintain the peace and stability, and a vote to contribute to improve the stability in the region. Some of the examples that she has compared are related to Indonesian role in handling of the South China Sea, in the context of development in Rohingya and the issues related to irregular movement of persons, Yemen issues, and also the violent extremism. Furthermore, Armanata Nasir said that besides being a speaker, the attendance of Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi at the Oslo Forum was also to improve the bilateral relations between Indonesia and Norway in various fields such as in South-South cooperation for developing countries. The Oslo Forum 2015 with the theme Peacekeeping in the New Order Disorder was officially opened by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Norway and the President of Colombia, and attended by Prime Minister of Serbia, Vice President of Iran, Foreign Minister of Jordan, and some academicians from other regions. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is today's commentary on conflict only with money. I'm Dalat Pane. Vis pacem parabellum, which means if you wish peace, be prepared for war, is a Latin proverb. It is not known who created this proverb. This proverb was quoted from a military writer in Roman times, Publius Flavius Renatus Vegetius, which reads, Igitur gui desiderat pacem praeparet bellum. There are some countries in the world that buy a lot of military equipment because of maintaining peace. There are also countries that become battlefields of conflict. In turn, those countries suffer from the conflict. In a report of the World Peace Agency, the conflict had already spent 13% of the world gross income, amounting to $14.3 trillion, or around 190 trillion rupees last year. This amount is almost worth as a combined economies of Brazil, Canada, France, Germany, Spain, and the UK, as issued by the Institute for Economics and Peace. The Institute also reported that the difference between the most secure countries and least secure countries is widening. Iceland becomes the safest country in the world. Meanwhile, Syria is the most unsafe country. Middle East and North Africa became violent region in the world in 2014. In 2013, violent region was South Asia. Libya is a country that experienced large-scale political transformation, suffered the most severe setback in 2014, according to IEP, which is based in Australia. The conflict wasted not only huge money, but killed a lot of people. For example, the conflict in 2014 claimed around 180,000 lives. 4 years earlier, the number was only 49,000 people. Loss of life caused by terrorism increased by more than half in 2013, with mortality rate almost 18,000 people. The number of victims was mainly found in five countries, namely Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Syria. The Institute also reported an imbalance about peace throughout the world. In Western Europe, the level of peace has been felt for a long time. By contrast, in countries such as Iraq, Nigeria, South Sudan, and Central African Republic, the violence has actually increased in recent years. If the global violence is down 10%, it can provide savings for the world as much as $1.43 trillion, equivalent to six times the amount of funds needed to pay off the debt of Greece, and approximately three times more than the income of 1.1 billion people in the poorest countries in the world. The report did not mention Indonesia, even though the report includes many countries with Muslim majority population. All stakeholders in Indonesia need to be watchful over the situation in Indonesia, which is now relatively peaceful, in order to avoid any prolonged conflict. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start today's segment of Today in History by inviting you to have a look on a historical event on June 19, 1944, the battle in the Philippine Sea between the U.S. Navy against Japanese Imperial Navy. The Battle of the Philippine Sea occurred on June 19 to 20, 1944, was a decisive naval battle of World War II, which eliminated the Imperial Japanese Navy's ability to conduct large-scale carrier actions. It took place during the United States' amphibious invasion of the Mariana Islands during the Pacific War. The battle was the last of five major carrier versus carrier engagements between American and Japanese naval forces and involved elements of the United States Navy's Fifth Fleet as well as ships and land-based aircraft from the Imperial Japanese Navy's mobile fleet and nearby island garrisons. The aerial theater of the battle was nicknamed the Great Marianas, Turkey shot by American aviators for the severely disproportional loss ratio inflicted upon Japanese aircraft by American pilots and anti-aircraft gunners. The outcome is generally attributed to American improvements in pilot and crew training and tactics, war technology, and ship and aircraft design. Although at the time the battle appeared to be a missed opportunity to destroy the Japanese fleet, the Imperial Japanese Navy had lost the bulk of its carrier air strength and would never recover. During the course of the battle, American submarines torpedoed and sank two of the largest Japanese fleet carriers taking part in the battle. This was the largest carrier-to-carrier battle in history. On June 19, 1961, Kuwait declared its independence from Great Britain. In the 1800s, Kuwait became part of the Ottoman Empire. To realize and answer the wishes of the Turkish people, the great Sheikh Mubarak's ruling Kuwaiti in 1896 signed a treaty with England which sets Kuwait as an independent state under British protection. Under the agreement, the British had control over the foreign policy of Kuwait, and as changes, Kuwait has protection and annual subsidy from the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom violated the agreement when they declared Kuwait a full member of the United Kingdom. On June 1961, Kuwait became independent. Thus, the United Kingdom protection toward Kuwait ended. The last event in today's segment of Today in History on June 19, 2008, John Aryo Katili dies. Former Vice Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Professor Dr. John Aryo Katili, died on June 19, 2008 in Jakarta. John Aryo Katili has served as a member of the House of Representatives of Indonesia in 1992 to 1997.
Previously, he served as Director General of Geology and Mineral Resources, Ministry of Mines and Energy from 1984 to 1989. In addition to the legislative and administrative career, John Cattili also served as Assistant Rector of Bandung Institute of Technology ITB and Dean of the Department of Mineral Technology, Bandung Institute of Technology. The professor of the Bandung Institute of Technology has written about 11 books and 250 papers. Expertise in the field of geology is highly respected in the international world, and John Cattili also served as chairman of Geological Societies of Southeast Asia and member of the National Geographic Society. On a variety of devotion, John Cattili was blessed Mahaputra Star, Medal of Honor Commander, the Lauder National Du Mérite from the French government, and a number of awards were also obtained from the government of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, Sweden, and Russia. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about the budget of main weaponry system Alutsista will be more increased.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the center of the Indonesian Army combat exercises of Batu Raja, Ogan Komering Ulu Regency, South Sumatra on Tuesday said the government will add more budget for the purchasing of main weaponry system to keep and guarantee the national security stability. President Joko Widodo also proud with the ability of TNI personnel after he witnessed the combat exercises. According to President, the TNI quality currently is getting more better if it is completed with modern weaponry system. To strengthen the posture of Indonesian Army, modern and complete alutsista modernization of defense technology are absolutely needed to continuously keep pace the progress of time. Besides developing the tough state defense, it is also needed qualification of command mechanism of logistics supply in the military and non-military operations, synergetic between corps and among institutions, as well as qualification of achievement in implementing operations. Therefore, President asked the demos of the army combat could be used well to prove the seriousness of the defense personnel in Indonesia. President also expressed his appreciation to the talented army personnel as the winner of the competition of the Australian Army Skill at Arms meeting in 2015 in Pukapunyai, Victoria, some time ago. Joko Widodo called the achievement could become a motivation for other TNI soldiers to show their ability as the soldiers who guard the homeland. At the end of his speech, President Joko Widodo asked all of the army soldiers to continue to improve the capability, professionalism, and preparedness wherever they serve the task. Besides keeping and maintain the integrity and cohesiveness, as well as the unity of military with the people, to uphold the mandate of Sabta Marga and the soldiers' oath. President also said that this is his constitutional duty to always pay attention and improve the welfare of soldiers. President asked the soldiers and officers to be the military apparatuses who fought, loved, and loving people. Meanwhile, the Indonesian military commander General Muldoko said he and his counterpart Malaysian Armed Forces commander have agreed to no longer bring down the troops in Ambalat, but the issue will be resolved in diplomatic way. When he met at the headquarters of the TNI Cilangkap East Jakarta on Tuesday, General Muldoko sustained the Malaysian aircraft and ships entering the Ambalat region, taken from the data and information from military personnel who conduct surveillance. However, violations related on territorial boundaries will be settled through the diplomatic relations between the two countries. He hoped that the report of encroachment that has been submitted to the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs and Minister of Foreign Affairs could be followed up as a protest against other countries. That was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, June 19, 2015. I'm Dalat Pani. Compass newspaper in its headlines writes, "Stock is a key to stability." Presidential decree on the establishment and storage of staple food is finally issued. However, the government measures to control the price of 14 commodities is not easy to do if the government does not have adequate stocks. To ensure the availability and stabilizing prices of essential goods in the market, President Joko Widodo issued a Presidential Decree No. 71 of 2015 concerning the stipulation and storage prices of necessary and essential goods. This regulation has been signed on June 15 and its number on Thursday. With the issuance of the Presidential Decree No. 71 of 2015, the President wished the problem of scarcity and volatility in the price of goods that had occurred could be overcome as soon as possible. Media Indonesia writes, "Accelerate the implementation of food prices process." The government officially announced the Presidential Decree No. 71/2015 concerning the determination of price and storage of necessary and essential goods. The President's communications team member, Teten Masduki, announced that the presidential regulation signed on June 15 aims to ensure the availability and stability of prices of goods in the market. Although too late, because it has been entering Ramadan, the government is asked to rush to apply the presidential decree to withstand price volatility of the speculator. An observer from the Association of Indonesian Political Economy, Kudori, assessed that all regulations issued by the government to maintain the stability of food prices will not run optimally when there is minimal supervision. According to him, the determination of prices of food commodities in Indonesia has been so strong set by market mechanism. The government, he said, is often too slow to intervene. Currently, government is still not completely make up a team to control the price and set specific prices of major food commodities. The next headline is from Republika newspaper. JK says, limit the authority of Corruption Eradication Commission. Vice President Yusuf Kalla asserted that the revision of the law on the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, is required in order to improve the role of the anti-corruption agency. He asserted that the authority of any institution, including the commission, must have certain limits. According to him, the restriction was necessary, so there is a measure on accountability of KPK. Furthermore, Yusuf Kalla believes the revised law on the commission is not to weaken or reducing the authority of the commission. Listener, we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia newspaper, which writes, dwelling time at Tanjung Priok. Three ministers are in rush. After President Joko Widodo expressed his disappointment at the length of time of stay of containers, three ministers met to formulate a solution that can be implemented in a short time. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Indriyono Susilo said, two major efforts will immediately taken. They are strengthen the software and systems in the port of Tanjung Priok as directed by the President. He invited the public to access a special portal on dwelling time. Rahmat Gobel promised action against all new importers on the permits after the entry of new goods at the airport will be taken. Minister of Transportation Ignatius Jonan proposed Maritime Affairs Ministry to encourage President to issue presidential degree to reinforce the Port Authority as the coordinator of 18 ministries and agencies in charge of Port of Tanjung Priok. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here in news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia and Russia have a very active cooperation in the fields of politics, including interaction in the United Nations UN and other international bodies. Both countries also have a good perspective in the economic field. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Michael Glusin, made a statement on the sidelines of the Russian National Day in Jakarta on Wednesday evening. Australia has not responded to Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi's request for clarification regarding an allegation that Canberra had bribed human smugglers to turn their boat back to Indonesian waters. Parliament members welcomed the edicts or fatwa of Indonesian Ulama Council MUI about the position of a leader who did not keep his promises. Students are flocking into Islamic-based higher education institutions as the government plans to turn Indonesia into a global center for Islamic study. Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister in charge of managing Islamic higher education institutions said on Tuesday that the number of applicants taking the entrance exam for public Islamic university grew 10% to 77,224 people compared with last year. Rupiah interbank trade rate in Jakarta on Friday's session weakened by 15 points to 13,320 rupiah per $1 from 30,305 rupiah in the previous trade. The dollar strengthened against rupiah and worries that Greece would be unable to repay its debt. American rock band Bon Jovi is about to rock Indonesia on September 11, 2015 at Bung Karno Main Stadium in Senayan, South Jakarta. All of the sound system and the stage are sourced from Indonesia. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi became a speaker at the Oslo Forum, a leading forum in Europe and highly respected because of his effort in addressing various complex issues and world peace. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to The Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. And in today's edition, I invite you to a culinary tour in East Java, so stay tuned. Listener, rice is one of the staple food of Indonesian people. Rice is usually enjoyed with a wide variety of side dishes. In many areas in Indonesia, there is a variety of rice dishes menu with side dishes. For example, timber rice or rice wrapped in banana leaves in West Java. Gudeg rice, a typical of Yogyakarta, Central Java, which is made from young jackfruit cooked with coconut milk, pecel rice or boiled rice with mixed vegetables and peanut sauce flavor in East Java, and barley mixed rice. While in Madura, there are nasi jejen and also nasi buk, which was from Malang. This time, we invite you to get to know more closely with nasi buk or buk rice, one of favorite culinary in Malang, East Java. Buk rice is a dish that was first popularized in Malang by Matira, a woman from Madura. The name buk is used because it was sold by mbombo or mothers. Buk rice usually consists of rice, lodeh jackfruit and chili paste, sauce of fermented shrimp or fish. Like most other Madura dishes, buk rice is sprinkled with serundeng or fried grated coconut. For side dishes, we can choose between fried chicken, jerk or fried meat, tripe, beef satay, tofu, tempeh and other side dishes. There are a number of side dishes to choose which makes it quite a special culinary. From various kinds of dishes which are over, usually there are more buyers who choose mandol or dried yeast and lungs. Mandol is the patties of tempeh. Dendeng is sliced meat with sour, salty, sweet sauce and then dried. Dried dendeng served with a bandage of serundeng or grated coconut. It feels very tasteful. Although the beef a little bit thick, but very soft because it is cooked with firewood to heat it evenly. What lung, or often called chips lung, has been dried in crunchy texture and has a sweet savory taste. This can be eaten like crackers with rice. Although this cuisine created by the Madurese, buk rice is very popular in Malang, so it is not difficult to find this culinary. However, many people like buk rice, which is sold in Mathira Book Depot near Malang New Town Station. This book rice stall is always crowded by buyers because this is the one which popularized book rice for the first time. The rice stall has sold since 1935. For tourists who get stopped at Malang New Town Station, the distance to Mathira Book Depot is only about 100 meters from the gate of the station. Only with 20,000 rupees or $1.50, you can enjoy a unique full breakfast of Malang culinary. The stall has been open since 7 a.m. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Nasi Book or Book Rice. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition introduces you to Palang Pintu Festival. Tradition is one thing which has been rooted in Indonesia. In a series of Jakarta's 488th anniversary celebration, Betawi, or native Jakarta people, held Palang Pintu Festival in Kemang, South Jakarta. The festival that was held on June 6 to 7, 2015 is expected to attract both domestic and foreign tourists to come to Jakarta. Palang Pintu tradition has become the identity of Betawi people in Jakarta. This tradition becomes part of Betawi traditional ceremony procession since the ancestors' era. Combination of silat or traditional martial art and witty pantun or traditional form of poetry becomes a dominant thing in Palang Pintu tradition. Just like its name, this festival shows anything related to Palang Pintu tradition, starting from presenting bridegroom to inviting Betawi silat champion and poet. This festival was opened with the entourage of bridegroom wearing Betawi traditional clothes with special attribute, accompanied by rebana or traditional tambourine music rhythm. Roti buaya or crocodile-shaped bread is also a must to go along with the bridegroom entourage. In this festival, Palang Pintu tradition becomes an important part and competed. This competition aims to preserve and introduce Betawi culture to all people attending the festival. Palang Pintu Festival also serves as an event to strengthen social bond among Betawi artists and cultural figures. Various kinds of bazaar and culinary markets make this festival even livelier. To indulge visitors, the event organizer provided 300 stands along Kemang Raya Street. They sold various kinds of food, clothes, and many more. During the festival, Kemang Street was closed for motorists. In 2015, Palang Pintu Festival has entered its 10th year. Although this tradition has been done from generation to generation by Betawi people, the origin of this tradition remains unknown. Preserving tradition is not only the responsibility of the government. People also play an important role in preserving the tradition. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on Palang Pintu Festival. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian band, Ungu. The first song we are going to play is Dengan Nafasmu. Enjoy. Listener, with various stunning accomplishments and experience they've been through until now, Ungu has become a great band in the Indonesian music world. Ungu was formed in 1996. It means that they have been engaged in music world for 19 years. What a long time. Their journey is hard, like personnel changing for 5 times. Well, listener, next let's listen to another song by Ungu entitled Segala Puji Syukur. Happy listening.
Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah Allahu akbar. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah Allahu akbar.
Listener, despite personnel changing, Ungu Band now has permanent personnel. The 5 personnel have particular skills and talent. As one of Indonesia, Ungu's fans spread from Sabang to Merauke, or from the west to the east of Indonesia. Besides, Ungu Band is productive. They have released so many albums, including religious album and mini album, containing best-selling hits. It certainly becomes particular accomplishment for Ungu Band. Alright, listener, that's a glimpse of Ungu's profile. The last 2 songs to play are Doa Untuk Ibu and Andai Ku Tahu. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
tulusnya cintamu, putihnya kasihmu, takkan pernah terbalaskan. Hangat dalam dekapanmu, memberikan aku eratnya pelukmu, nikmatnya belainmu, takkan pernah terlupakan. Oh ibu, terima kasih untuk kasih sayang yang tak pernah usai. Tulus cintamu takkan mampu untuk terbalaskan. Oh, ibu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.